Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
Hi, this is Linda, and today I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Section 1. This is Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. MISD spent $122,000 on bond materials by Brandy Addison. Midland ISD spent more than $122,000 on materials related to the $569 million bond election. The advertisements did not violate the Texas Election Code because they were informational and did not persuade readers to vote one way or the other. The first invoice was sent from Baselice & Associates on May 6 for $34,597. The payment was for the MISD voter survey conducted from April 17th through 23rd, in which 403 residents and teachers were interviewed. The final invoice of $29,450 was sent from Davis Demographics on November 2nd, 3 days before the election. The payment was for demographic consulting services. From May 6th through November 2nd, MISD received 14 different invoices. The Reporter Telegram obtained the invoices from Walsh Gallegos, Trevino Russo, and Kyle PC after submitting a public information request through the district. Other invoices were $2.60 from the district's printing department on August 13th for printing 26 copies of paper with bond-related information, $25 from the district's printing department on September 12th for printing 2,000 copies of paper with bond-related information, $238.50 from the district's printing department on September 20th for printing 45 spiral-bound booklets of 20 pages with bond-related information, $53 from the district's printing department on October 6th for printing 10 booklets of 31 pages with bond-related information, $30 from the district's printing department on October 3rd for printing 1,000 copies of paper with bond-related information, $6,004 from A1 Sign Engravers on October 9th for stickers for bond work, $588.16 from Fast Signs on October 9th for signs for MISD bond work, $6,084 from the Reporter Telegram on October 16th for print advertisements, $3,974.99 from the district's printing department on October 16th for printing 31,108 copies of paper with bond-related information, $22,863.35 from Valentine Direct Marketing on October 31st for 16,932 Election Day mailers, $9,692.71 from Valentine Direct Marketing on October 31st for 19,606 early voting mailers. This money comes from the general fund budget, according to MISD Communications Office. Planning and zoning clears way for MCDC to build new townhomes, by Mella McEwen. Midland County Development Corp. is getting the chance to move ahead with some new affordable housing projects. Planning and Zoning Commission on Monday unanimously approved the MCDC's request for a zone change from SF2 Single Family Dwelling District in part and SF3 Single Family Dwelling to TH Townhouse Dwelling on a 0.780-acre tract at the southwest corner of the intersection of West Estes Avenue and North Main Street. MCDC Executive Director David Diaz told commissioners plans are to build 7 3-bedroom, 2-bath townhomes on the tract. Construction is expected to begin in the spring, he said. Commissioners also unanimously approved a request by Mark for a zone change from SF1 to PD, Planned Development District, for an office center at the northwest corner of the intersection of North A Street and Ventura Drive. Mark plans to demolish two existing office structures at the site and build a 2,360-square-foot day-use building and an 8,200-square-foot two-story office building. Residential centers at the site will be unchanged. Also Monday, commissioners approved a replat of the southern half of a block in the Garden Addition at Ward Street and West Ohio Avenue, a portion of one lot and all of a second lot in Warwick Addition on the southeast corner of Winfield Road and Humble Avenue to combine two lots into a single lot. Parts of two lots in Chesmire Acres on the northwest corner of Neely Avenue and Cessna Drive to divide one big lot into three lots. Two lots in the College Heights Addition at West Washington and Carlton Street, and a 7.432-acre tract of land previously vacated portions of two right-of-way at Quail Ridge Road and Chucker Lane. Commissioners also approved a request by Schumann Engineering for a zone change from SF1 to SF3 on two lots at the southwest corner of College Avenue and South L Street. Local taxing entities' debt tops $800 million by Stuart Doreen. City of Midland debt issued last year has put the total payments from Midland's five taxing entities higher than $800 million at the end of the fiscal year 2019. The Texas Bond Review Board reported on its website that the City of Midland's total debt payments as of August 31st went from $210.002 million in 2018 to $272.134 million in 2019. The increase in the city's total pushed the total debt payments of Midland's five taxing entities, city, county, school district, junior college, and hospital district, from $777.890 million in 2018 to $809.311 million in 2019. The total debt payments in 2019 were $534.555 million in principal and $274.755 million in interest. The city issued debt in 2019 related to the road bond that voters approved in 2017, water sewer improvements in Northeast Midland, and other infrastructure. Total debt payments for the road bond and infrastructure-related certificates of obligation topped $80 million. The Texas Bond Review Board reported total debt payments dropped with the other four taxing entities, including the school district, $315.038 million to $298.510 million, and the hospital district, $200.036 million to $190.594 million. Much of the taxing entity's debt is voter-approved. In addition to the road bond, the voter-approved debt includes referendums passed, including multiple school district bonds, the hospital bond passed in 2009, the Midland College bond approved in 2005, and the county bond passed in 2008. City of Midland debt includes certificates of obligation that were approved by the Midland City Council and not the voters. The Texas Bond Review Board also shows Midland County Water District No. 1 with $444.649 million in total payments, including $218.066 million in principal. Last year, the district's total payments were $454.468 million. Administrator discusses changes ahead of special election by Caitlin Randall. The Midland County Elections Office has implemented changes ahead of the District 2 City Council election later this month, including new chain of custody logs and overflow ballot boxes, said Elections Administrator Deborah Land. The changes were introduced following multiple issues with the November Midland ISD $569 million bond election. A recount resulted in an 820-vote discrepancy that was later attributed to a misplaced ballot box. It was discovered an overflow ballot box used after a standard election box is full was not documented on a chain of custody sheet for the ballot boxes and election equipment. Land said it's an error they're taking steps to correct before the upcoming election. We have a new chain of custody sheets that will be going out with every piece of equipment, thumb drives and seals. We're going to implement a new way of keeping track of those seals at the location, she said. We think that's going to help a lot. At the last election, the elections office listed each item from a polling location on one chain of custody paper, Land said. She said they will now use a chain of custody form for each box and piece of equipment to track every little movement. Additionally, they will no longer use metal tins for overflow boxes, she said. Land previously said the misplaced ballot box was believed to not be from the November election because it was a tin box. The other ballot boxes were blue. County Judge Terry Johnson has ordered 50 more blue ballot boxes to ensure there will be enough for future elections, Land said. There will also be a change to the way the election results are posted on the county's website, she said. In the last election, what was posted as cumulative result did not include mail-in ballots, leading to reports the MISD bond passed by 12 votes. When mail-in ballots were included, it failed by 25 votes. Going forward, the number posted as the cumulative result will include mail-in ballots, Land said. Land's comments came following a test of the county's electronic voting machines, which County Attorney Russell Malm said was routine before every election. Normally, we don't make a big push to get the media out here and get the public out here. But because of the events that have transpired over the last couple of months since the November election, we want to make sure people see what we do and see the machines working, he said. There were two machines used in the November election, the DS-200 and the DS-450. The elections office tested the DS-200 machines on Tuesday, but did not test the DS-450 machines because they will not be used in the January 28th special election. The Secretary of State's office has instructed the elections office not to clear the DS-450 machines as the November election is currently being contested by several parties, Land said. There were three types of ballots tested by the machines in three separate tests on Tuesday: mail-in ballots, early voting ballots, and Election Day ballots. 81 ballots were used in each test, and the results reported by the machines matched the ballots. In addition to the procedural changes, Land said the elections office and election judges will receive training from the Secretary of State's office. Land said she hopes the added training and changes will restore residents' faith in the elections office. You trusted us before. It's the same people still working here, she said. We do our best every day for not just us, but we take pride in what we do for Midland County voters. We're working very hard to regain that trust. Please come back out and make your voice heard because it's important.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, January 8th. 2020, Section B, Health and Wellness. Assistants have valued role in patients' experience, by Steve Olive and Kit Bredemus. Steve Olive is Executive Director of Group Management, and Kit Bredemus is Vice President of Nursing for Midland Health. At Midland Health and throughout healthcare organizations, medical assistants, MAs, and patient care assistants, PCAs, play a vital role in the patient journey. They provide a key element of the patient experience to continually move the clinical operations forward. The main difference between the two is that one works in a clinic setting, the other works in a hospital setting. Regardless of the location, they serve a fundamental valued role in delivering direct patient care. To be able to not only contribute to the patient experience, but many times to be the first to recognize when something is wrong or changing with the patient is vital in healthcare. Midland Health is currently hiring for both positions. Medical assistants work very closely with doctors and advanced practitioners. The duties include rooming patients, taking vitals, administering injections, charting, phoning prescriptions, educating the patient, making referrals for testing or to other specialists, and assisting our providers in meeting and satisfying quality measures that are important in increasing the ongoing quality of our service to our patients. Many MA's duties extend to ordering supplies, stocking sample closets, preparing the exam room for the next patient, and verifying that instruments are sterilized and ready for use the next day. They also might assist the provider with medicine reconciliation and starting the history and physical, and often listen to and comfort patients who are not well and may need a sympathetic ear. Medical assistants play a very vital role in Midland Health ambulatory offices. One of the doctors in our group has medical assistants who have worked with him since he started 10 years ago. He often has said how important and instrumental they are to the success of his practice and the difference they make in helping him treat his patients. Patient care assistants are an integral part of the healthcare delivery team. In the hospital setting, PCAs work with nurses and providers. They can be certified nurse aides or can be trained without certification to perform several functions. In the emergency department, PCAs are some of the first people you encounter, and they help with many tasks such as EKGs, taking vital signs, and procedure setup. In the inpatient areas, PCAs help with daily tasks such as bathing, dressing, walking, and assisting during procedures. Kit Bredemus says, I began my career as a nurse aide where I built a strong foundation of healthcare knowledge while learning how to be a caring and empathetic professional at the bedside. At Midland Memorial Hospital, we value the role that PCAs play in the lives of our patients and visitors. Similar to nurses, PCAs spend the majority of their time in direct patient care and are one of the most impactful people in the patient's stay. PCAs not only perform medical tasks, but they also help alleviate patient fears and anxiety through caring conversations and connection. Many professionals start out their medical careers as PCAs. If you have a passion for caring for others and being part of a team, we highly encourage you to consider applying for a PCA or MA position. We are looking for motivated individuals to join our team who are seeking opportunities for personal growth and professional advancement. If you are looking for a rewarding career where you can make a difference, please apply directly at midlandhealth.org/careers. Then click on Click Here to view career opportunities. Read the fine print before signing gym membership from the Better Business Bureau. The new year and decade are here. A new year provides an opportunity for people to assess what they'd like to do better in the coming months. A blog that conducted a survey in 2017 of 400 people in the U.S. and the U.K. found exercising more and eating healthier were the most common New Year's resolutions, respectively. Of the survey participants, 45% set their resolutions with the hope of improving their quality of life, and 23% wanted to lose weight. Becoming healthier is often one of the most popular resolutions each year, and there are many ways of accomplishing this. The American Psychological Association says unaccomplished resolutions can quickly bring anxiety and suggests starting small and asking for support. Here are some tips to support you on your journey to a happy, healthy 2020. Get fit with the right gym. The number of new gym memberships increase at the beginning of January when consumers decide to invest in a gym and their health. There can be many benefits to working out at a public gym: classes, equipment, accountability, and more. However, you want to be sure you're at the place that's right for you. Knowing your fitness goals and setting priorities can help you determine where to start looking. Always take a tour of facilities and read the contract closely to determine how much a membership costs each month. You can also check the gym's business profile on BBB.org. Watch for free trial scams. Some health and fitness goals, such as quitting smoking or losing weight, can be a slow process. You may even feel like you aren't making much progress, which is when turning to miracle products seems like a good idea. First and foremost, you should always be careful when taking products for your health and should consult with your doctor first. Second, products using big claims and celebrity endorsements may be attempting to lure you into a free trial scam. This is when a company claims it'll send you a sample of its product for free. You just need to give your credit card information to pay shipping and handling. Later, you find a charge for the full cost of the product. If this is the direction you decide to go when working on your New Year's resolutions, always read the terms and conditions carefully before placing your order and use your credit card for extra protections. Care for your mental health. Caring for your health extends beyond your physical health. HelpGuide.org emphasizes the importance of social connection when caring for your mental health. In fact, a report released by the Better Business Bureau at the end of September showed social isolation to be a factor in increasing scam risk. Those with fewer people in their lives with whom to discuss potential scam offers were more likely to become victims of fraud and lose money. Take time this year to connect with old friends and meet new ones, too. Obituaries for Wednesday, January 8th. Barbara Ann Knight McWilliams. Barbara Ann Knight McWilliams died at her home January 3rd. She was born in Tucson, Arizona, May 20th, 1931, and was raised in El Paso by her parents, Wallace and Zena Knight. She was preceded in death by her husband, Bill McWilliams, and is survived by her three sons and their wives, Mike and wife Ann, Toby and wife Vicky, and David and wife Vicky, as well as 9 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held at Grace Presbyterian Church January 18th at 2 p.m. Memorial donations should be directed to Casa de Amigos, one's favorite children's charity, or to Hospice of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. David Ward Pruitt. David Ward Pruitt, 73, passed away in Midland January 4th. He was born in Greenville, January 18th, 1946, to Dorothy and M.M. Pruitt. David is preceded in death by his first wife, Patricia Ann Roach, in November 1998, his parents, Dorothy Ward Pruitt and Marion Manoa M.M. Pruitt. He is survived by his wife, Patricia Ann Smith Pruitt, his sister, Janet Evelyn Pruitt, daughter, Jana Allison Pruitt True, and husband, Spencer, sons, John David Pruitt and Charles Tyler Pruitt, stepdaughter, Jennifer Hamilton Bingo, and husband, Kyle, and 7 grandchildren. Services will be held in Midland Thursday, January 9th at the First United Methodist Church at 3 p.m., with a reception immediately following in the atrium of the Petroleum Club of Midland. An additional service will be held in Greenville Saturday, January 11th at 2 p.m. at Coker Matthews Funeral Home, with graveside burial at Hogeye Cemetery in Celeste. Memorials may be made to First United Methodist Church of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Eric Edward Martinez. Dr. Eric Edward Martinez, 42, of Midland, passed away Saturday, January 4th. Visitation for family and friends will be held from 5 to 9 p.m. Friday, January 10th. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A Celebration of Life Memorial will be held from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Saturday, January 11th at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Eric was born October 27th, 1977, to Eladio and Carol Martinez. He is survived by his son, Austin Martinez, brother, Jose Eladio Martinez, sister, Erica Gonzalez, brother-in-law, Christopher Gonzalez, 3 nieces, 2 nephews, his paternal grandparents, Rodolfo and Celia Martinez, his maternal grandmother, Ophelia Mancha, as well as uncles, aunts, and cousins. He is preceded in death by his maternal grandfather, Ruben Mancha. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net or online at www.lawalangarciapipkinfh.com. Juanita Anderson Stokes. Juanita Anderson Stokes was born to Robert Lee and Eunice White Anderson, January 11, 1942. She passed away December 16th. She married Bob Stokes in 1959. Juanita was preceded in death by her parents, brothers Robert H. Anderson and Virgil Anderson, her sister Yvonne Anderson Seitz, and her husband of 60 years, Bob Stokes. Survivors include her children, Madeline Stokes and Greg Stokes, three grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, one sister and three brothers, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. A memorial service and reception will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, January 11th, at the Branch at Nally Pickle and Welch in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Judy Baxter. Judy Belinda Hardnock, 62, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, January 1st. She was born January 10, 1957, in Midland, the daughter of Henry and Jean Hardnock. She is preceded in death by her mother, Emma Jean Hardnock. She is survived by her father, Henry Hardnock, Jr., her siblings, Harvey Hardnock, Henry Hardnock III, her sister, Holly Hardnock Robnett, as well as numerous aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, and cousins. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, January 10th, at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home in Midland. Interment will immediately follow at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net or on the net at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Liliana Nevea Rivera. Liliana Nevea Rivera, age 3, passed away Wednesday, January 1st, after a sudden accident. She was born June 2nd, 2016, in Midland, to Ramon and Misty Rivera. She was preceded in death by her grandfather, Ramon Rivera Sr., and she is survived by her parents, Ramon and Misty Rivera, two brothers, Felix Rivera and Christian Rivera, a sister, Harley Rivera, grandparents Regina Rivera and Nick Guzman, all of Midland, and Joe and Kim Darrington of Mineral Wells, numerous uncles, aunts, and cousins. Viewing will be held at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel in Midland on Wednesday, January 8th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. A funeral service is set for Thursday, January 9th at 10 a.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net or online at www.heavenlygatefh.com. Death notices. Marcus E. Graves. Funeral services for Marcus E. Graves, 64, of Midland, are pending at Maxey Funeral Home in Paris. Local arrangements were under the direction of Jackie Warren Funeral Home. Marcus E. Graves died January 4th at a local hospital. Nancy Rodman Anguish. Nancy Rodman Anguish passed away at her home Saturday, December 14th. A memorial celebration service will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, January 10th at First Presbyterian Church of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Health Briefs. Alzheimer's Association to host events. The Alzheimer's Association West Texas Chapter is hosting two events next week. Understanding Alzheimer's and Dementia will be at 6 p.m. January 16th at MCH Wellness Center, 805 East Highway 191. Know the warning signs of Alzheimer's will be held at 10:30 a.m. January 18th at Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch. Both are free, but registration is required. To register, call 800-272-3900 or go to westtexas@alz.org. For more information, contact Janet Cross at jcross@alz.org or phone 570-9191, extension 8031. Midland Health Event. Basic childbirth class will be held at 6 p.m. Thursday at Midland Memorial Hospital West Campus. Contact Amber Cunningham, 221-3283, or childbirtheducation@midlandhealth.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. This is Section B, Education. This column is called Midland College Profiles by Stacy Hewitt. GED classes set student on college path. When Caitlin Parker was a 16-year-old pregnant high school junior, she got a job and quit school. "I raised my baby the best way I knew how," Parker said. "I quit school and got a job. My mom took on the role of second parent and partner for me. I never felt like a single mom because I had her. I am incredibly lucky. I know a lot of teen moms do not have that support. She showed me how to be a great mother. When my son started kindergarten last year, I decided to get my GED with the help of Midland College's free preparation classes. My goal was to create a better life for our family. Midland College offers prep classes for the Texas Certificate of High School test, known as the GED test, in Midland and Fort Stockton. Classes are offered in English and Spanish to people 17 and older who have not completed high school. MC's GED classes are so flexible, Parker said. As a student, you have so many options. You can take the prep courses completely online or in traditional class settings in the mornings or evenings. I went to class on Tuesdays and Thursdays during the mornings while my son was at school. I could still pick him up, help him with his homework, and cook dinner. I did not miss out on any family time. There were other students in my class who worked night shifts, took a nap, woke up, and were there at 9 a.m. Those fellow students were really inspirational. The instructors, Lorraine Bailey and Jenny Rhodes, essentially start from day one, tackling basic addition and basic grammar, Parker said. I was out of school for so long and could not remember how to divide without a calculator when I started MC's prep classes. Every day, the teachers went over another chapter until we learned everything you would have learned in high school, but at a faster pace. Parker passed all sections of the tests with flying colors. On each section of the test, I ended up scoring in the 70th percentile because of the extensive prep that I had, Parker said. The instruction did not stop when Parker passed the test. The instructors showed up to class every day after the GED curriculum was finished to prepare us for the Texas Success Initiative Assessment, TSI, which determines the appropriate level of college coursework for incoming college students. They did not have to provide that support. They did it out of the goodness of their hearts. I was able to knock out the TSI in one sitting because the material was fresh on my mind after these classes. Parker is now a student at Midland College, taking her prerequisites and looking to transfer into the nursing program. She attributes her success not only to Midland College's prep program, but also to her family. Parker is so grateful for her family's encouragement. "I was only able to pursue my education with my family's support," Parker said. "When my husband and I both lost our jobs, we were not sure what to do. My Peppa, grandfather, paid off the loan on my car so that we did not have to stress. Thanks to him, we were able to afford living on just my husband's income while I went to MC to prepare for the high school equivalency test. I know that there are other people who do not have the family support I do, and their journey is filled with many more obstacles. However, the instructors and support staff in the program encourage all of us and instill in us the power to change our lives. I have been blessed to have a family that has picked me up and made it easier for me to change mine. Parker knew for a long time that she needed to obtain a high school diploma, but it just seemed like an inconvenience. Losing my job was a wake-up call, she said. I thought of the worst-case scenario. What if this happens again? I have to get an education so I can get a job. I do not want to be bartender or waitress. I am a mom. I want to do something my son can respect. I had to show up for myself. No one else was going to do it for me. At the end of the day, without an education, you are only hurting yourself. Midland College can help. For more information on Midland College's free high school equivalency preparation classes, visit midland.edu/GED or call 685-4700. Stacy Hewitt is part-time writer-photographer at Midland College. This article is entitled Education Partnership Launches Power Bag by J.C. Lewis. Odessa. Parents who have children at Odessa Regional Medical Center and Medical Center Hospital will be provided with information and resources through POWER, Power of Words and Early Reading. The initiative was announced December 11th at the West Texas Food Bank in Odessa. From the moment of their birth, their family will be made aware of the research and will be given tools on how they can begin to interact effectively with their children to build brain power, language skills, and to make them kindergarten ready, said Lorraine Perryman, chair of the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin. She said the Education Partnership is a collaboration to bring the entire community together to focus on educating children from cradle to career. Perryman got the idea while attending a conference at which she learned about brain bags in Pensacola, Florida. All of the information in the power bag is based on solid research, Perryman said. There was a huge study that was done that identified a 30 million word gap of children in low-income families versus children in high-income families. About 5,000 children are born in Ector County every year, Perryman said. Families will receive a book bag with a power bib, information about the initiative, a Milestone Moments book created by the CDC, a Baby's Busy Day book from the CDC, a bilingual Maria Had a Little Llama book, articles about infant development, a magnet with the link to the foundation and research, and a key toy. Without ORMC or MCH, we would not be here today, Perryman said. They are the major funders of this initiative and the ones to make the program go forward from here on out. Dr. Sarah Amiri, a pediatrician at ORMC, said it is noticeable in development when children are engaged in their home life. As a pediatrician, time and time again, I have noticed that kids who have been intentionally read to since birth have a broader vocabulary and they achieve developmental milestones earlier, Amiri said. These children are more likely to be school-ready when they start kindergarten and are more successful in their academic career. Through the Power Bag Initiative, we are providing parents with the knowledge and resources on the importance of daily reading, singing, talking, and playing with their babies, Amiri said. Kristen Abbott-Timmons, Divisional Director of Women and Children for Medical Center Health System, said this is an impactful gift to send home with newborns' families. It is very important for us to instill things into our moms so they know how to care for their infants, Abbott-Timmons said. This is another level of caring for them to be able to put something so important into their hands. It's developing that eye contact and voice recognition, she said. They watch you and they see things, so all of that is being instilled in them, making it so important to establish that from the beginning. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said children need help before reaching the school system to arrive ready to start learning. On the first day of kindergarten, 65% of our kids aren't kindergarten ready, Murray said. So 65% of our kids begin their first day of school not even at the starting line. We have an opportunity as a community to make sure that on the first day of school that every child in ECISD is ready for their first day of school. Murray said ECISD will be looking to expand these programs. Our contribution to this is to volunteer and to make sure we are part of the stuffing and delivery, Murray said. We also recently announced that we will be starting a full-day pre-K. Starting in August of 2020, we will be having a full-day pre-K program for all four-year-olds. We have to do something from birth to the age of five. Adrian Vega, Executive Director of Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, said that the blame for not preparing children usually gets passed down from high school to elementary school. But Power Bags will be helping all kids in the community. As a community, we are starting at birth, Vega said. This is phase one. When we get back together in January, the focus of that meeting is to begin to craft and lay out a community-wide strategy and plan to ensure that when children leave the hospital, that every single touch point and through line between leaving the hospital and starting pre-K, we have a network. This includes bringing together pediatricians, clinics, child care centers, daycare centers, so a network can be built for kids in Ector County, Vega said. The first Power Bags were distributed on January 1st. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, January 6th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Permian Pipeline Competition Heats Up. Capacity is Outrunning Supply, by Sheila Tobin. Five new oil pipelines are set to open in the Permian Basin through 2020, expanding a gap between production and takeaway capacity that's already spurring midstream rate cuts and could mean cutthroat competition ahead. Producers in the West Texas and New Mexico oil field are pumping about 4.72 million barrels a day, according to Rystad Energy. That compares with nearly 6 million barrels of pipeline capacity that could rise by about 3.5 million barrels in the next 2 years as planned new conduits come online. Most of those planned projects were announced when the Permian was posting annual growth rates in excess of 1 million barrels a day. Now, some analysts see yearly growth slowing to as little as 650,000 barrels a day, with older wells producing less and oil companies preparing to curb spending this year to boost investor returns. Competition will heat up particularly among pipeline companies seeking to renew long-term shipper contracts that are set to expire, including those seeking to proceed with new pipeline projects, said Sandy Fielden, Director of Research for Morningstar Inc. There is a chance that some of the projects would get canceled or consolidated, and that would depend on shipper commitment. Adding to this, the difference between the price of crude on the coast compared with Midland and the Permian has plummeted in the last year, making it more difficult for shippers to make money after paying the pipeline fees. Operators of legacy pipes in the oil patch already started cutting tariffs last year to retain or lure shippers to keep their systems fully loaded. In August, Energy Transfer Partners cut rates for users on portions of their Permian Express system, while Magellan Midstream issued incentive rates for large-volume shippers on its BridgeTex pipeline. EPIC Pipeline Company halved its transportation rate prior to the line coming into service. Oil producers are warning that they are preparing to curb spending this year to boost investor returns. The Permian is definitely slowing down, said Elizabeth Murphy, an analyst at ESAI Energy. Declines from legacy wells are outstripping the new wells, and there aren't enough rigs to offset the decline in the legacy wells, she said. New pipeline startups like Cactus II starting up and EPIC in the summer have put us over the top on capacity, said John Hours, Executive Vice President at energy consultant Turner Mason & Company. Now there is surplus capacity out of the Permian. For pipes still at proposal stage, it doesn't help that the spread between Midland and Houston, which has access to export markets, has narrowed from over $10 a barrel a year ago to around $2.50. This would mean transportation costs from the Permian bound for the Gulf would have to be even cheaper, straining profit margins. Ultimately, only projects initiated by companies with well-established infrastructure will stand a chance to succeed, said Fielden. Connectivity on their existing systems would be plus points that will usher their projects through to completion, he added. Still, some companies are forging ahead with pipeline expansions because of industry support. Enterprise Products Partners, LP, plans to push ahead with adding nearly 1 million barrels a day of new connectivity from Midland to its ECHO terminal in southeast Texas, ready in 2021, according to Tony Chovanec, Senior Vice President for Fundamentals and Commodity Risk Assessment. It's no surprise to anyone that next year, and probably for the next couple of years, it's going to be highly competitive, which will create volatility in earnings, Magellan Chief Executive Officer Mike Mears said on the company's earnings call in October.
Sister gets more of man's time than his wife and kids. Dear Abby for Wednesday. Dear Abby, I don't know how to handle this. My husband of 29 years spends more time with his sister and her family than he does with me and our children. If I say anything about it, he jumps all over me, defending her. He says she doesn't have anyone to help her, but Abby, she has two grown sons and a husband she recently decided to divorce. I think his relationship with his sister is weird, and other people have said they think so too. One person even called it creepy. When I told my husband I thought it was a weird relationship, he yelled at me. I can no longer talk about his sister with him. It's off limits. Please help. Only the wife. Dear Only the Wife, has your husband always been close to this sister? It may be the reason he is spending time with her. I'm sure she wouldn't be divorcing her husband if the marriage had been a bed of roses, and she may need private time with her brother to help her detoxify. That said, that he spends more time with his sister than with you and the children is unusual. It makes me wonder about the state of your own marriage. If there is stress and tension the two of you can't resolve together, you may need to consult a licensed marriage and family therapist. Dear Abby, our 47-year-old son remarried 2 years ago. We have a 15-year-old grandson from his previous marriage who lives with his mom and who visits his dad every other weekend. We are not close with our new in-laws who live out of state. We recently found out that they have purchased a second home very close to our son. The problem is the home is located within a nudist colony, and therefore we assume they are in fact nudists. Should this be a problem for us? We are both 70, or should we not be concerned? Wondering in the South. Dear Wondering, I don't think there is anything to be worried about. If you are concerned that your grandson will see something shocking, please know that he can find whatever he is curious about on his computer or cell phone. However, if you are worried that either of you will be forced to view or participate in nude activities when you visit your son, all you have to say is, I think we'll stay at a nearby hotel. Thank you. Dear Abby, I recently attended a wedding and was videotaped while I was dancing. I was shown the tape later at a family gathering. I'm not a great dancer and I looked silly, so I asked that the video be deleted. Instead, it was passed around and everyone laughed and made fun of me. It was embarrassing and hurtful. My husband says I'm overreacting. Am I? I said nothing and don't intend to, but I can't get it out of my mind. Dancing Fool in Ohio. Dear Dancing Fool, your feelings are your feelings. Nobody wants to be made fun of. But you have two choices. The first is to continue to stew about it. The second is to join in the laughter, admit you don't dance like a gazelle. Few people do, and let it go.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, January 8th, 2020, Section A. Life-changing opportunity. Morales and Her Six Children Proud to Accept Home from Habitat for Humanity by Royal McGregor. Araceli Morales has called the Midland-Odessa area her home for the last 11 years. Thursday afternoon, the 34-year-old El Paso native and mother of six received the keys to a house as part of a dedication ceremony from Midland Habitat for Humanity. Morales, along with her six daughters, 15-year-old Stefania, 12-year-old Sophia, 8-year-old Nayeli, 7-year-old Naomi, 5-year-old Shayla, and 3-year-old Mercedes, cut the ribbon to welcome their home to the rest of the community. Along with the excitement, you have that weight off your shoulders, Morales said. It's an awesome feeling to know you own this home. This is yours. You should proudly show it off. During the dedication ceremony, Sophia explained the importance of this house to members of the community, volunteers, and sponsors. I consider this a blessing, she said during the ceremony. It opens a lot of doors and a lot of opportunities. That sentiment is also shared by Midland Habitat for Humanity Executive Director Joey Hopkins. We really believe that houses are more than where you just sleep at night, Hopkins said. We have statistics that kids who grow up in houses that they own do better in school. They are more involved, and it permeates every area of life. Morales said she and her daughters were previously renting a house for $1,800 a month. The 34-year-old said this house allows her and her children the opportunity to live in a stable home without having to worry about rent increasing. The oil field is great. It's great opportunity, but when the oil field goes down, everything goes down, Morales said. Not everyone makes oil field money. Prior to the ribbon cutting, Midland Habitat for Humanity Executive Director Joey Hopkins gave the Morales family a couple of gifts, which included a step stool and a trivet that were repurposed from the original home. There was also a toolbox, birdhouse, and a Bible. Hopkins said Habitat for Humanity is a nonprofit organization which allows it to buy and sell houses at cost. He said the organization can build houses for $70,000. The Midland Habitat for Humanity serves Midland and Odessa. Hopkins also explained where the Morales home is located. The 300 block of Lauderdale Avenue, there will be two more projects scheduled to be completed. The housing shortage is a big deal right now. We are uniquely positioned to pursue that because we don't need to make a profit. We can sell these houses for what it costs us to build. A for-profit builder wouldn't be able to do that. Birthright celebrates 35 years. By Sam Waller. Birthright of Odessa celebrates 35 years of service in the community this month with its annual fundraiser, this year featuring Dove Award winner Matthew West. The event is scheduled for 6 p.m. January 23rd at MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome and Event Center. A lot of people know about the program, Birthright of Odessa board member and events chairperson Amy Cravey said. They see the sign that says Birthright, but they don't realize we've been here for so long. And we've helped so many moms in the community. We love to tell the story at the event. It's really about being in Odessa for 35 years and celebrating what God has done. The scripture, Psalm 126, verse 3, says, "The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy." That's kind of our theme. West, who received the 2018 Dove Award for Songwriter of the Year and has been nominated 9 other times, has released 5 albums of Christian music. His latest album, Brand New, will be released February 14th. Cravey said West's message fits well with Birthright's ministry. His music is a lot about bringing hope, she said. It's encouraging because his music backs up what we are trying to do. We're cheerleaders for moms who find themselves in really stressful situations. We're thrilled to be able to bring in a recording artist who is a big name so people can enjoy that. He's going to do an acoustic set. He's going to tell stories about his songs, and it's going to be a very encouraging night. Tickets for the event are available online at www.birthrightodessa.org/events. Individual tickets are $50 each. Sponsorship packages are available at Faith, $500 for 4 tickets, Hope, $1,000 for a full table of 10 tickets, and Love, $2,500 for a full table and a VIP reception levels. Anyone interested in being an event co-sponsor, $5,000, or an event underwriter, $10,000, can call Birthright at 432-228-3129 for details. Birthright International, a Toronto-based interdenominational ministry, provides help to women dealing with unplanned pregnancies. According to the organization's website, Birthright offers loving, confidential, non-judgmental support to those who are pregnant or think they may be pregnant. We not only raise money, but our event is so important because we also have to recruit volunteers, said Cravey, who began volunteering with the organization 10 years ago. That's the only way Birthright is staffed. If we don't have volunteers, our doors are not open. Our volunteers are extremely important. Most of them work office shifts and work as helpers to ladies who come in. We also have people who take care of our baby donation room, our maternity clothing room. We have people who take phone calls for us. Our volunteers are almost even more important than raising funds. Cravey said Birthright has a need for both cash donations and baby-related items. We, of course, have bills, she said. We have to pay our light bill. We have insurance for which we have to pay. We do need money in the bank. But everything that's donated, every person who gives us what we call their time, talent, or treasure, that's that much less we have to worry about. We have established things that we do for our clients. If they find out if they're having a boy or a girl, we can give them a sack of gender-specific baby supplies to get them started. We're going to continue to do that, whether people donate items or we go and buy them. We're going to make sure our clients are taken care of. A good example, Cravey said, is handmade items provided by volunteer groups. We've had people come to our events and realize our group can make baby blankets. If they make 50 baby blankets, that's huge for us, she said. That's 50 moms who get handmade baby blankets for their babies. That's 50 blankets we don't have to buy. That helps us financially just by having people donate their time and efforts to do that. There are so many ways to support Birthright, and we just want to get people to our event so they can hear about it, and God can put something in their hearts as to how they can help. Cravey said Birthright, which is located at 2125 East 42nd, has seen an increase in clients who have moved to Odessa because of the upswing in oil field employment opportunities. We see over 1,000 clients a year come through our doors, she said. We're seeing more diversity with the clients because they're coming with husbands or boyfriends to work here. We've seen more women who don't have a support system. They don't have family here, so they're really needing someone to just love on them and encourage them. They need a real person to sit in front of. It's important for our ladies to be open and to be there and just be ready to love on the women who come through the door. Quick hits. Genesis Conference. Thy Mission Ministries, a Messianic Jewish Ministerial Alliance, has scheduled the Genesis Conference at sundown around 6 p.m. Friday at the Emet HaTorah, 1807 East 7th. This Erev Sabbath celebration is to include dancing, music, a presentation from a guest speaker, and a kosher potluck meal, typically called an oneg. At the start of the conference, there will be prayers for the sick via oil anointing, mikvahs, and baptisms available as well. Admission is free, but donations are welcome. The event is open to the public. On the net, daimission.org. Rodeo Dance. The Sand Hills Stock Show and Rodeo has scheduled a dance featuring Chancey Williams and the Younger Brothers Band, 8:30 p.m. Friday at the Ector County Coliseum, Building G. For tickets or more information, call 366-3951 or email sandhillsrodeo@cableone.net. On the net, sandhillssr.com. Barbecue Cook-Off. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation has scheduled the third annual West Texas Barbecue Cook-Off, sanctioned by IBCA, January 31st through February 1st at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Setup and on-site registrations begin at noon, January 31st. Categories: brisket, chicken, and pork spare ribs. Entry fee is $150. Prizes include $5,000 payout, $1,000 grand champion, $900 reserve grand champion, and top five cash payout for each category. For more information, call 368-3548 or email bbarker@odessa-tx.gov. Applications to enter can be found online or at the Parks Office, 1100 West 42nd. On the net, tinyurl.com/yd7rwd4y.
That's the end of the first hour of the Midland Reporter Telegram in Odessa American. We'll begin our second hour right after we take a look at weather.